Welcome back to Beyond the Gate, our Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Meg.
And today we are talking about episode 61, He Who Would Swallow God.
Yes, in this episode, millions of lifeless bodies litter the landscape of Amestris, and a being with the power to create suns is unleashed upon the world. Unless Hohenheim has something amazing up his sleeve, all is surely lost.
Yes, and this covers the manga chapters 104, Center of the World, 105, The Throne of God, and 106, Pride's Abyss.
I was way behind on reading the manga, and I finally caught up.
Woo! Yeah, that takes a while, honestly. I mean, you don't think it because it's a manga, it's a comic. You can blaze through them pretty fast, but if you get a couple volumes behind, it's really hard to catch back up.
Yeah, I read like 2 volumes. Honestly, it only took me like 45 minutes to get through 2. It's pretty good.
I guess things are going pretty fast now.
Yeah, and like reading fight scenes is harder for me to picture it in my head. When I'm seeing it, like on the page, like I'm like, I don't really know what's happening. So I just kind of brush past that stuff. It's easier when they're like, when I'm reading a book and like describing what's happening, it's easier for me to picture it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about in this episode. So let's get into it. The first scene of this episode is we see young Ed and Al. And they're studying alchemy, and they're saying the sun is male and the moon is female, and their union is the perfect being. And Al asks Ed, "Oh, is that an immortal being?" And Ed's like, "No, I don't think so." And he's like, "I think it might be God." And then, as we know, Father has just consumed God, in quotes. And we go back to the present, and everything is quiet in all of Amestris, because everybody's souls have been taken from them, except for the people that are in the center of the circle. The sacrifices are waking up. And they're all still alive. And we see Father. He looks like young Hohenheim again. I feel like he looks a little bit different, but that's basically, you know, what he looks like. But I'm sad that he didn't get his young voice back.
Sorry, Aaron, you're gonna have to wait.
Yes. And he says he became one with God. And he is using the souls of the 50 million Amestrians to contain God in his vessel. And he has become very powerful. He's able to create a sun.
Yeah. The power of the sun in the palm of his hand. He did what Doc Ock couldn't.
You Spider-Man nerd.
Always.
And then we see him like sense something. It sounds like a heartbeat. It's classic. Yeah.
Like classic somebody's in pain, thing. Kind of.
Yeah. And this made way more sense in the manga. Hohenheim, he tells Father that thing that he's hearing, it's the millions of beating heartbeats. We learn that, in the manga at least, they explain it better, I think. The souls of the country's citizens, they're still connected to their bodies by a string, which is known as the spirit. And Hohenheim says, like an infant who is tied to his mother through the umbilical cord, they haven't quite let go. So
they haven't completely become fathers yet for him to control. Mm-hmm. And also the souls will be drawn back to their bodies like a magnet. That's a quote from the manga too. And that kind of gave me some relief because Like, I don't know. The thought went through my head, if these souls are released, I wonder if people will get body swapped. But there's no fear of that because your individual soul will be drawn to your individual body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we learn that they can go back to their bodies because Hohenheim, it's Philosopher's Stone, it has been scattered out over Amestris, and it is activated by the, you know, needs a circle to like activate the transmutation circle, and the circle is the moon's shadow, and
it's which called the Umbra, right?
Yes. Yep. They don't
remember that from the manga.
But they say that in the manga.
I wish they said that in the anime because that's a good term. That's kind of pretty, actually.
Yeah. I know. I don't know anything about astronomy, so I don't know if that's legit or not.
I think it is. I've heard that term before.
I have too. I'm actually just going to Google it. Yeah, okay. Umbra is the fully shaded inner region of a shadow cast by an opaque object, especially the area on Earth or Moon experiencing the total phase of an eclipse.
Cool.
Interesting. Nice. Science.
Science.
And the souls, the Philosopher's Stone, they activate and attack Father and return everyone's souls. And Father he's losing control. It's hard for him to contain God. And this is when he starts attacking everyone, all the Ed and Al and Hohenheim and May. And, Ed and Al, they can't use their alchemy. But so Hohenheim and May are protecting everyone. And Ed and Al also like help out their father. They like hold his back to keep him up.
Yeah. I like May's, I don't know, May and Hohenheim working together just makes sense because she can protect them from the ground attacks. Cause she says the more energy that flows through the ground, the more power she has at her disposal. So like anything Father throws at them, she can use against him or to protect them.
Yeah. And while they're doing that, we hear Ed say, like, come on, Scar, what are you doing? And we see Scar and the Fuhrer still going at it, and the Fuhrer seems to be winning. And he's trying to, I don't know, he's telling Scar, like, oh, you're going against your god by using alchemy, and he's like, do you even believe that there is a god? And at the critical moment when the Fuhrers are like about to kill Scar, he gets blinded and Scar like destroys his arms.
Yes, it was the moon reflecting off of his sword that blinded him, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite understand what was happening, but I think that's what it was. And the Fuhrer, though, he's not done. He takes a sword in his mouth and stab Scar.
Luckily, it's not a fatal spot, but boy, I bet that hurt.
Yeah. And the battle is over, and Lanfan arrives, and she's gonna kill the Fuhrer to take her revenge for killing her grandfather. Before she does that, though, she asks the Fuhrer if he loved anyone, and he's like, "That's a stupid question," but kind of implies that he did. He loved his wife because he chose her.
Yeah, and in the manga, his quote was, "You know nothing. She's the woman I chose. We didn't need such meaningless words to understand each other, such as the way between a king and his companion." And that line just hit me because, well, the next panel is Lanfan's reaction to it, and they really focus on her because there's significance in that statement, as Lanfan is the companion of Ling, who is her king. So she can understand that better than most.
Mm-hmm. And then Lanfan doesn't get her chance to kill the Fuhrer because he turns old and dies. But before that, he's like, I enjoyed life. I enjoyed the human idiosyncrasies. It made life worth living. And then he dies.
How come I feel kind of bad for such a horrible person?
I don't.
Or not bad,
I mean,
but I feel like.
I feel bad in some way because, like, this life was kind of forced upon him.
Yeah, true. And but, I guess in my mind, I just kept remembering the soft moments he had with his wife and even with Salim when Salim was posing as his son, where it looked like they were kind of a family who actually enjoyed time together. And those were the parts of life that he was thinking of in his final moments.
Mm-hmm. And Lan Fan helps Scar to the center of the room, and Scar activates the reverse transmutation circle, which is, they don't really make this super clear, but that's what the Ishvalans were, like, helping. They're, like, placing spots around the city to get that set up. And then we go back to Father's Lair, and he's ready to fight. He throws off his coat, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I love his manga quote. In your face, you cocky freak. Your precious throne is in pieces now. Up until now, you've been calling the shots. Not anymore. You and that truth of yours are going to eat my fist.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's ready. And then we get a little bit of explanation about what just happened. Well, we already know this, but alchemy uses tectonic plates to perform alchemy, but that was held back, that was being held back by Father and, like, the Philosopher's Stone. They couldn't use the full power of the plates, but now they can, because Scar's brother realized that Amestris was a giant transmutation circle, and he developed a reverse circle, which they explain in the manga is he used the Amestrian National Transmutation Circle as its base, and he superscribed the lines with the purification arts and neutralized the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, and in the manga, they also mentioned that Amestris was intentionally keeping information about alchemy from alchemists.
So they couldn't find out. Yeah, and the purification arts is alchemy.
Yeah. And in the manga, Ed is amazed by the amount of alchemy he is now able to do. Like, he says something like, I barely transmuted and I did all this.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like you see a lot more going on in the manga. And Scar was the one who activated the reverse circle, and he kind of has a moment where he's like, I'm helping my enemies, like, reach their full potential.
But he also has a self-reflection moment where it's like, the negative things I've done, the positive things I've done, the good and the bad, is it all going to balance out?
And then we see Ed, he's like firing cannons at Father, and Greed is attacking, and Izumi is attacking, and they dump the molten lava that Greed was killed in, the original Greed was killed in, on Father, and they're basically, like, trying to get him to use up his Philosopher's Stone, so that he'll let go of God. And then he decides to move above ground, and to make more Philosopher's Stones, and we see him, like, kill soldiers to do that.
Yeah, in the manga, though, I don't think, well, we'll see if in the next episode the soldiers get up. But in the manga, he's about to kill them until something interferes, and they're fine. There's a lot less death that happens in the manga in these last couple chapters with just the battle that happens.
Interesting. And everybody else goes up too, except for Ed. He stays behind to fight Pride. And we get a quick scene of Izumi and Sig reunited, and it was amazing. And also Hawkeye and Mustang are reunited, and it's so cute because they're both so concerned for each other. I mean, they both got seriously injured, but Mustang asks Hawkeye if she can still fight.
Yes, sir.
So they're gonna join the battle, and then also Greedling and Lan Fan reconnect, and Greed sees that Wrath is gone, and I don't know that he says this in the anime, but in the manga, he's like, "Ah, look at that smug face."
Yeah, I think in the anime, he's like, "Huh, he died smiling. Of course he did." Kind of, yeah. Like, I don't know. There's like a little bit of a tinge of sadness to his voice, but also kind of like that, how dare you get a happy ending-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of emotions going through him right now.
Mm-hmm. And then the final scenes of the episode, Megan's favorite, the fight between Ed and Pride. Ed, he calls Pride Father's lapdog, and he's like, "Father doesn't care about you. Why are you fighting for him?" And Pride is pretty beaten up. He's missing his eyes, and it's really cool because it, like, fills with his shadows.
It looks pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And he is pretty weakened, and he's like, "Oh, me and Ed are basically brothers, so I'm going to try to take Ed's body for myself."
Yeah, this goes by really fast in the anime, but in the manga, it looks a lot more painful. Like, Pride grabs Ed, like he does in the anime, and shoves his shadows into a cut on Ed's face. But in the manga, the cut is on one side of his face, and you see his eye get all whited out when the shadow goes in. And it's like, as he's slipping into Ed's skin, Ed's just screaming, and his body's all contorted, and like, you see veins popping on his face.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked really painful. But then Kimberly, who was eaten by Pride a while ago, stops him. He somehow maintained his autonomy, and he's like, "You're so pathetic. You're giving up your homunculus body to become human." And it, well, I said this, but then I read the manga, and basically Kimberly says the same thing. It's like, you're giving up your pride, you're becoming human, who you view as lesser than yourself, to survive. And while Pride's distracted, Ed attacks him, and he does his special trick where he turns himself into a philosopher's stone to get at Pride's core, and he, like, destroys his container. And then we see that all that's left behind is a teeny tiny baby.
You were dying.
So cute. And Ed, like, sets him gently on his coat, and he leaves to join the fight.
That was a cute scene. And of course it's Ed, so he's gonna protect little, like, he calls him Salim when he takes the baby out, which I thought was an important distinction. But at the same time, the first time we watched this episode, I was like, that thing is tiny. You can't leave it. It's going to die in the elements. It's just in this underground cavern. It's defenseless.
You know what I was thinking about?
Mm.
Is, I bet a lot of people died when their souls, like, left their bodies. I mean, they don't cover that, but, like, if you were driving.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, you're...
It's like if the rapture happened in, like, chaos. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you're driving. Or, like, we saw a scene where, like, the earth started to shake, and they're like, "Oh, we better turn off the stoves." And it's like, okay, like, what if you didn't do that and then started a fire? Like,
I think the one thing I would say that might have spared people that is that when it first started, it's not like people they had a few seconds to go, oh, something's wrong. So usually, I think when that happens, people have enough sense to be like, if they're driving, they pull over. Or if they're walking down the stairs, they slowly sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not really going to, like...
There might be
some accidents, but they're not really going to cover that.
No. Give it the benefit of the doubt and say that people had enough time to just, you know, calmly take care of what they needed to.
Yes, we'll say that.
Yeah, sure.
Except for the man that was fighting a bear. He's dead.
wait, but the animals in the anime...
In the anime.
But in the manga, he's a goner.
Okay.
He was just randomly fighting a bear in the middle of a mestrus.
There's in the northern part, there's bears, and this he was.
No one but Azumi is crazy enough to do that.
I'm sorry, not a bear, something else. They're hunting, okay? I was like imagining a guy hunting, and then.
Or like, let's say there's a traveling circus in town, they're doing their feats of fancy and like trapeze artists, that there's going to be accidents there if they just keel mid-flip.
True, like they wouldn't, that you might not have enough time to.
You're in midair and that happens. Ooh.
Yeah. That's rough, buddy.
But anyway. Just put that reference in there.
Okay.
Okay. So, tracking whenever Ed destroys his gloves. His gloves are now missing. When did they disappear? We didn't see them get torn, I don't think. I saw them last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're gone. I don't know. It's okay. It's better that he's fighting without them. And then Homunculus deaths, Wrath and Pride both bit the dust. That means Greed is the last one standing.
The best.
Yes! The only Homunculus we want to survive.
Yep.
Yep. And then as for animation expertise, I really, really like the Ed versus Pride fight, in part for the character growth of Ed, but in other parts for the design of it. It is spectacular in the manga, but I also love what they did in the anime. There's a stylistic shift. The lines are a little bit thicker. There's this rough feel to it. And there's kind of like this red color scheme going on. Yeah.
Awesome. Giving you a thumbs up, which nobody which they can't hear. See. They can sense it. All right. And I think that's kind of all we had.
Yeah, fast.
Yeah, I know, it actually did. This is really action-packed, so. What was your favorite line of the episode?
Mine came from Ed when he was backing up Hohenheim. Can't you even do this, old man? Even in a crisis, still gotta rip on him.
Yep.
What was your favorite line?
Mine came from Greed, and it was when Father was about to have molten lava poured on him. Greed's like, the sweet memories, that's exactly the tub I took a bath in. Now it's your turn, Daddy.
The way he said Daddy, it just killed me.
Yeah, it's so good.
In the manga, he said Daddy Dearest.
Yep. And what did we learn in this episode?
We learned to look beyond someone's actions to see who they are. Like how Ed saw past Pride's form as a homunculus and saw him as a little boy, a son, a person.
Yes. And then who pushed the story forward in the episode?
Ed and Scar for defeating the homunculi they respectively fought. And Scar also activated the reverse transmutation circle.
Yes, and also shout out to all of Hohenheim's souls who activated the other
good job, guys.
The other circle that saved everybody.
Yeah, let's not forget that. That's like the most important one.
Yes. And then, yeah, if I remember to post on Instagram this week, we will post a poll about which was a better fight, Ed versus Pride or Scar versus the Fuhrer? Which, yeah, we have differing opinions.
And both are valid. It's just I like mine for certain reasons and you like yours for certain reasons.
Yes.
But before we end this episode, I had a kind of random question, but a fun one I just kind of came up with today. So, this is just fan theorizing, but we know that Edward, he's not much of a crier. He doesn't show that sort of emotion often. He likes to hold it in. However, when watching movies, what would be the movie he would bawl his eyes out uncharacteristically, you know?
Okay, this one just came to me.
Okay.
I was thinking about it. It would be something with siblings, and I like Grave of the Fireflies. He'd be a goner.
I think he'd need therapy.
Because, like, he would totally, like, he would, like, totally relate to that, like, trying to care for your younger sibling and then failing and,
I think I might have heard someone say this one before, and this is kind of a generic answer, but, you know, the movie Homeward Bound?
Is that an animal movie?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I think that one would be, like, everyone would be watching it, and I would expect maybe Al to get a little emotional on that one, but the scene where the dogs and the cat come home, I feel like Ed would just be in a puddle, like, don't look at me, I don't know why I'm crying.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that movie. I just have, like, vague memories. Yeah.
You want to know the impressive thing? It's been ages since I've seen it, but I definitely grew up with it, and my whole family likes it. So my brother and I play this game called the soundtrack game. We will pick a song from a random soundtrack from a random movie, and the other one will have to guess it. You just play a little clip of it. So it'd be like Prince of Egypt, How to Train Your Dragon, although we both nailed that one on the first couple beats of the song. But I decided to throw my brother a curveball, and I played the theme from Homeward Bound. And he was just, like, so stumped. Like, what is that? And we added some rules to the game where you get a couple of guesses or hints or whatever. And I had given him all the hints, and he had gotten to his last guess. And he just sat there for a solid minute. And all of a sudden, he turned and looked at me, and he's like, is this Homeward Bound? It's like, how did you get that?
Locked deep inside your brain.
Yeah, the childhood memory just rose out of him.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's all we've got.
Yeah.
We are getting so close to the end. There's only, like, really, manga-wise, there's only, like, one volume left. And we've got, what, 3 more episodes? Ooh, dude, technically only...
Oh, because we're going to combine the last two.
Oh, man.
But then we'll have our bonus. We'll have our bonus episodes.
We have 2 bonus episodes.
2 bonus episodes. But yes. Anyway, we will be back next time. And Happy New Year, everyone. Because we kind of forgot to say that.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming.
Good job. You remembered. Happy New Year.
All right. What animal is it? What year? Like, year of the...
Google it.
Okay. Year. Oh. Is it the dragon? It's our year. It's the dragon. It's Hatori. All right. Happy year, the dragon, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.